Job, the book of Job this week. The Lord wants me to follow up on the messages we've been having, and so we want to take the opportunity just to do that. There's a powerful question that's asked really by Job in response to criticism that he was receiving. He was accused of being a hypocrite. And Job really poses a wonderful thought on justification. We want to use that as a springboard and then get into a message on that. As you're turning to the book of Job, let me just say this. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And let me just say what that means. That means that we do not have to defend ourselves. And it's a hard thing for us when you think about the Christian life. Oftentimes, it's what we're tempted to do. But if we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, that means he's never capable of losing a case. That means that any accusation that would come against us, he is more than capable of defending us. But our advocate cannot do his job if we are doing that job for him. In fact, he ceases from doing that. And he allows us to try and make a defense of ourselves. The fact of the matter is, in our flesh, there's no defense whatsoever. There's no defense against the devil, against our own flesh, our own failings. But with Christ, we are always declared righteous, and I'm grateful for that. Job chapter 9, and I want to draw our attention to verse 1. And here's what the Word of God tells us. Job's facing the most difficult time of his life. And Job did not know that his life was an open book, on display for the lost people in his area, on display for believers in his area, on display for Satan and his army, on display for the angels of heaven and God Almighty himself. And yet that was Job's life. The Lord set him forth as an example. He knew that he could trust his servant. The Bible says in Job chapter 9, verse 1, "Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" How should man be just with God? We spoke on Sunday about the essence of the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When we get saved, we don't leave the gospel and try to live our own life. We stick with the gospel. Fact of the matter is effective preaching is gospel-centered, because we find everything we need in the gospel message. But when we consider Job's question, how can man be just before God, we get to consider some things. And just by way of reminder, I want you to fire some things off. Tell me something about mankind. What is man? Help me here. Sinful, okay. What else is man? Man is sinful, man is what else? Alive, hopefully, okay. It's Wednesday night, I know, okay. Man is lost, okay, he can't save himself. What else is man? Man is doomed, okay. Lake of fire, that's our destination. What is God? What is God? Anybody know? Just throw some of the... God is holy, okay. What else is God? He's eternal, thank you. He's righteous, okay. What else is God? Almighty. So how can man be just, man who is sinful, lost, doomed, condemned, how can he be just before one who is holy, eternal, righteous, and almighty? There's only one answer, and it's Christ. And it's always Christ. There's no other answer. Job was confident of the fact that one day his body would die, but in his flesh he'd see God. He believed in a bodily resurrection. Now, I want us to take our Bibles and I want us to go to the book of Romans, because I want us to see this and then build upon this foundation. The question that Job asked, how can man be just before God? Valid question. Job was a just man. The Bible tells us that. He was holy. Listen, you couldn't live a more separated life than Job. Let me help you here. Okay, let me help because I want to. Could Job do anything better? Help me. And problems still came, right? Christian, relax. Job was righteous before the Lord. His business dealings, in his home, his spirit, worship, sacrifice, he was righteous before God. And yet he encountered problems. We often think if we have problems in our lives that God is targeting us. That's not true. That's not true. The Lord wants to help us. Now over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3. We'll talk about this book in just a moment, but really these four chapters are wonderful chapters that deal with the thought of justification. But in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says this: therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It doesn't matter if you're a self-righteous moralist, you're guilty before God. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile without the law, you're still guilty before God. God is just in declaring man sinful before him. That's the absolute truth of the matter. Now, verse 21 says this: but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or made known, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, let me just say this. He highlights the difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Let me just say this. In the church of God, there is no such distinction. We are all one in Christ. There's no predominant nationality. We're all one in Christ. But he highlights these because the Jews were given the oracles of God, and the Gentile world is guilty before God because they had the conscience and they had creation. So mankind is guilty before a holy and a righteous God. Now the word of God tells us this in verse 23. God says it in a declarative sense: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born that way. Verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That means peace. A peace offering. Okay? Through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So how can a man be just before God? You believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's simple, right? Let me ask you a question. So why do we take it upon ourselves after salvation to try and justify ourselves so often? If we could not justify ourselves as lost people, what makes us think we could justify ourselves after we're saved? We confuse justification and sanctification. Justification is a one-time act. Sanctification is progressive. God promised to predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his Son, little by little, bit by bit. We're being formed into the image of Christ. Christ is formed in us and he lives through us. That's why we live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the comfort and the truth of these scriptures. Now let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help now. Lord, I do pray for clarity of thought and mind. And Lord, I pray that this truth would be a comfort and a help to us, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your righteousness would shine forth as the noonday. And Lord, that we'd walk in the truth that you've provided for us this day. And I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Christ is the justifier of mankind. And it's so simple that we put our faith and trust in his finished work as our substitute, and God declares us righteous. You know, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the word therefore is such a key word because it tells us what justification really is. Justification is not found in the law. You see, the Jews were saved by faith, and we as Gentiles are saved through faith. Let me explain that. They look forward to the coming Christ. We look back at Calvary. Very, very simple. But it's still the same through the ages, grace through faith. God extending his grace down to mankind and mankind accepting what the Lord has done for us. So all of mankind is condemned before God. That's how we're born. We understand that. But what is this justification that Paul alluded to and what he talked about? I like what Spurgeon said, and this is the best way that I could find to look at it. How do you articulate this? This is a simple subject, yet it's a deep subject. And I think this is interesting. He said this: the term justification is forensic. And it means this. It refers to the proceedings in a court of justice. It signifies a person being declared righteous according to the law. It is not making a person righteous by the infusion of holy habits or changing from sin to holiness. That's what sanctification is. But it's the act of a judge pronouncing a party acquitted from all judicial charges. See, what happened when we got saved, Brother Carl, when you got saved, God said, righteous, declared righteous. Now, who did the declaring? God Almighty. And he's the only one that could. And why did he do that? He did that upon the basis of the finished work of his son, Jesus Christ. And when we put our faith and trust in his work that he did for us, his death, burial, and resurrection, God says, righteous, and righteous forever. Never to be remembered. None of our sin. Righteous. It doesn't matter what man thinks. It doesn't matter what polls say. It doesn't matter what nationalities would rise up against things. It doesn't matter what the very imps of hell would say. God says, declared righteous forever. It's a powerful, powerful truth. I like what Barnes says, the great commentator, Albert Barnes. He says, justification is the declared purpose of God to regard and treat those sinners who believe in Jesus Christ as if they had never sinned on the ground and merits of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Justification is not pardon. When someone's pardoned, that's the forgiveness of past offenses. Pardon has reference to those sins as forgiven and blotted out, but justification has to do with the law. It has to do with God's future dealings with the believer. Justification is a completed fact for the believer. It is not an ongoing process. That's why we don't seek to justify ourselves. Folks, that's why I've been preaching the way I've been preaching. I'm for godly standards. I mean, God is holy. We get that, right? Be holy, for I am holy. But I'm not legislating righteousness in here because I don't want people to get full of themselves. It's not our righteousness. You know why I have the standards that I have in my life? Because he has declared me righteous, and he's at work in me. And as he works in me, I move in his direction, and I live personal holiness. It's not me drumming it up. It's our own lives that we're living. It's not us looking down upon other people. That's self-righteousness, and that's insecurity. It's really what it is. I'm secure in the Lord, and so are you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Think about that for a second. It's like going to a three-year-old and saying, hey, how come you're not doing math of a seven-year-old? Because they're not ready for it yet. They're not ready. Sanctification brings us along. Justification is a one-time act whereby we're declared righteous. It's an act which God determines to treat saved sinners hereafter as righteous. And that's what the Lord God wants to do for us. Jesus Christ has died in our place. He has met the descending stroke of justice that we were deserving of. It was about to fall on our heads, but Christ intervened, and therefore God our Father said, not guilty. But so what? Wonderful truth. Declared righteous. So what? How does that affect us in our everyday life? And that's what I want to do, is I want to talk about the benefits of justification. So God sees us just as if we've never sinned. We're declared righteous because of what Christ has done for us. We exercise faith in what he did, and God says, you are righteous. So what about all of this? Well, look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I'll give you the first one, and then I want to just explain this passage. And I've got the notes there for you, so you don't have to worry about taking them. And I wanted you to have them so you could refer to this, look at this, and that this will be a help to you. He says in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Meyer says about this passage of Scripture as it unfolds. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 8, he says this. He says, starting from faith, the staircase mounts from peace to hope, from hope to love, from reconciliation to salvation, and life and joy in God, so that whatever he does, as well as whatever he is, awakens in our hearts responsive admiration and glad consent. Stand on these successive terraces. They build upon one another. In the mountain climb to take your breath and behold the far spread landscape. Let us not be content with the latter foot when all these rounds of light invite us to partake of them. We have all of these things because we're justified by Almighty God. Now, what are those things that we have? Number one, we now have peace with God. We now have peace with God. This isn't something that you're striving for. If you are saved, this is something that you possess right now. I'm not talking about the peace of God, and I've explained this before. The peace of God has to do with fellowship, okay? The peace with God has to do with sonship. The Creator became a child. He says it here in verse 1, therefore being justified by what? By faith. Faith in what? Help me. In Jesus Christ. You know, people get wonder, hey man, you preached against a prayer of this, because I'm telling you, it's faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the old time soul winners of yesteryear, they used to take the word of God, men like R.A. Torrey, they would take the word of God and they'd read the scriptures over and over with people who'd come forth and they'd say, do you get it? Do you understand it yet? No, I don't. Well, read this here. What does this say? And boom. They're quickened alive, made alive by the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what it is. It's not a profession. Because I'm going to tell you something. I have lots of converts all over the place. But Christ isn't anywhere near them. Think about it for a second. If somebody's alive, they're signs of life, is there not? Let me just ask the honest question. I don't want to get on this. Do you read your Bible? Do you pray regularly? Do you have any desire for God whatsoever? Those are important things. Listen, we've got 9 children. I didn't have them, okay? Amber did. And the thing we look for more than anything was the cry, the sign of life, the cry. We knew, hey, that baby's okay. Check the limbs, check everything. There were signs of life. Listen, when we're justified by God, there are signs of life, but there are benefits that God gives, and we have peace with God. Because the price has been paid in full by the work of Jesus Christ, God's justice towards us has been eternally satisfied. Can I just say it this way? He's not angry anymore. And let me help you, saint of God. Why would you think he's angry with you? Let me ask you a question. Is he a liar? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And because justification is a one-time act, sonship is never in question. It can't be, because it would make God to be a liar. Fellowship, oh, that's always something that we can lose fellowship with God, but never sonship. Never. Never. Think about it for a second. Sister Pat, is Jilly your daughter? She does something wrong and she stops being your daughter forever, right? Now, there's times we'd want that, please, and leave some money for mom and dad. Sonship is never the question, but when she gets you mad, coming over to mama's house is in question, isn't it? So do we ever lose sonship? Then cheer up, saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing. Otherwise, he'd be a liar. And justification would be based upon what we do. Still trusting that prayer? I'm not. You trusting what some man told you? I'm not. I just trust what he's done, not what I've done. Think about that for a second. So based upon what he's done, I have peace with God, and I'm a son of God, and you're a daughter of God. You know, that's what we have, the wonderful privilege of that. So what does this tell us here? It tells us that the war with God is over. My Bible tells me that God is angry with the wicked every day. But if you're saved, you're not wicked. You're a child of God. God's not angry with you anymore. He's not. God's not angry with you anymore. Guzik says it this way. This is peace with God. The battle between God and us is finished. And he won it by winning us. Some never knew that they were out of peace with God, but they were like drivers ignoring the red and blue lights of a police car in their rearview mirror. They were in trouble even if they didn't know it, and it soon caught up with them. We have peace with God. So the war with God is over, but not only that, God now sees us as children and not combatants or enemies. God is not our enemy. Listen, the devil will put that thought in your brain all the time. And you'll look at your standing in the world, and because Christians are often downcast and downtrodden, we will think that we are worthless, and nothing could be further from the truth. Think about it for a second. Why would you think that way? Let me help you with this. You know why we matter to God? Because he gave everything for us. Think about that for a second. The Father gave everything for us. So why would we stop mattering to God? Why would God just say, I'm done with you? God doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. We're justified. We have peace, for Christ is our peace. Justification spoken here is spoken as an act that's already done. It's finished. It's a one-time act that's been done forever. So we see this, letter C, that Jesus Christ's atoning work has reconciled us to God. It says it in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. Is it through religion? Personal work? Who's it through? It's that simple. That's the message we have. You've heard it, I'm sure of it. Two religions in the world, those that do and those that recognize it's done. So when I watch people boast on what they're doing, I'm saying, why are you trying to justify yourself? That actually makes our Father, it grieves our Father. I say it oftentimes in preaching, if your good works are good enough, why did he die on the cross then? That sounds like a waste of time, right? If we could get there on our own merits. And we don't have to worry about justifying ourselves. The Lord's the one who has justified us. And that's a comforting thought. We can wake up every day recognizing we've been justified by Almighty God. We're talking about the first benefit, having peace with God, letter D. God's wrath has been satisfied, and he now extends his gracious hand out to assist us in the process of Christ-likeness. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Could we save ourselves? Could we shake ourselves and become alive to God? Did we have a divine spark within us? No, extinguished, nothing there. But we believed. Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Christ working in us, the hope of glory. Wanting to be resurrected again through us. So that with our personalities, people could see Christ and they'd say, man, I see Matt, but I see Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord wants to do in and through us here. He reaches out his hand and says, hey, you're not my enemy, you're my child. And by the way, that's every day. You say, I'm far away from God. Oh, but you're still a son. Just get back into fellowship with him. What did he tell the church? The church in the book of Revelation, he says, you've left your first love. Duty took the place of devotion. In church family, I try to strike that balance where we keep ourselves passionate about the Lord, and I don't want to overwhelm God's people with works. You know, I don't. I'd love to have a Bible Institute right now. It'd be nice if it was over there or somewhere else. But that's not the time for that. No, there's healing that still needs to take place. There's insecurities that have to be overcome yet. You see, because if you go too fast, we're not prepared for that. And it's us driving it, not the Lord leading it. And I'm thankful for this truth of justification. We have peace with God. But notice the second thing here. And it says it here in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2. Verse 1 says, we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But you look at the punctuation there. What's the punctuation mark there? Help me here. I'm not trying to be overly simple, but I'm trying to help here. What's the punctuation mark? Help me. What is that after the word Jesus Christ in verse 1? What does the colon do? What's that? Colon or semicolon? Colon, okay. So what does a colon do? Ladies, you put it this way. I'm not picking on ladies, anybody here. You see that infomercial, gonna be careful, almost got in trouble, okay? You see that commercial. Man, I'll give you this and this and this for this price. And yet there's more. And I'll give you this here. Order right now, I'll give you two of them. Sign up a buddy, I'll give you three of them. And usually what happens is that visa comes out and then we get it. That's why they gave me three of them, okay? But think about it here. Meaning he's not done yet. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, that if that's all we had was verse 1, that'd be good enough. But God is far more gracious than we can even imagine. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Living a life every day, waking up knowing God's not angry with you. Oh, saints, can I encourage you? Do you do that? Or do you still feel you have to earn his favor? If you feel that, that's the result of a lot of bad preaching. That's not true. We have his favor. We have the favor of our God reaching down to help us. But he says here in verse 2, by whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Because of justification number 2, we now stand in grace. That means his favor. This is awesome. Who are we talking about here? Bill Gates. We're so enamored with popular culture. He's got all the money. Folks, if he doesn't know the Lord, he's going straight to hell and his money perishes with him. Who are we talking about here? Whose favor do we have? Just God, right? The Almighty One. The one who never changes. That doesn't sound like a depressing Christian life to me, man. We've got the favor of Almighty God. Folks, I know what time of year it is. I've got a good sense where people are at in the Christian life right now, where everyone's at here. And I'm telling you something. We've got access to grace. Does that give us an excuse to just stay complacent and defeated? Help me. We have it because we choose it. That's the truth. And preachers won't say it. They risk ticking people off. We are that way because we choose it. Or is God a liar? Help me. What is this grace? This is the favor. This is the empowering of God Almighty. The one who has justified us now lives inside of us. And he says, now because you're my child, because you've been justified, I have offered you my grace, this grace that you stand in. Because of justification, we've got God's favor. I feel like praying right now. Think about it. So, oh, he wouldn't hear my prayers. Well, who's he going to listen to? If he's not going to listen to his children, who's he going to listen to? Think about our children here. Kezia is our most stubborn one. But even she gets ice cream when everyone else gets ice cream. Think about it. I don't know any parent in here that would turn off the cries of their child, do you? That would be dysfunctional behavior, wouldn't it? So why would God do that? Think about that. If he asks a fish, is he going to give him a stone or a serpent? That's not our Heavenly Father. So here's this matter of grace here. The grace that drew us to Christ now empowers us in Christ. Think about that. For by grace are you saved through faith. He gave us the ability to turn towards God. Go this direction. Yes. And now that we are saved, he goes, here's my favor to empower you to do what you have to do. So letter B, we see justification is based upon the atoning and sacrificial death of Jesus and not the works of man. Is grace something we have to earn? Think about this. The favor of God extended. It's like someone stooping down your ear. I'm all ears. Our Father has thoughts of peace toward us and not thoughts to harm us. He desires to give us an expected end. Or what would you rather have? 57 works? And let's work on this church family? And we could highlight those that do those works better and they can be in charge and look down on you? I'm done with that junk. No way. Someone recently said, hey, this is like a family where people are welcome here. You know what I recognize here? That there are people that come to this church that are not perfect. Have you spotted them? You're looking at one. Haven't you noticed? Say, why do we do that, preacher? Because sanctification is progressive. Some people haven't figured that out yet. Man, preacher, we got people who come to church and they cause issues. Okay. And I've got children that soil diapers. Should I get rid of them? Come on, now help me. I've got children that can't feed themselves yet. Now, I wish our children could do a whole lot more because Hawaii sounds good right about now. Just sit on that beach and not have to worry? Oh, wow. But there's some growing that has to happen before that takes place, right? No, I just look at people who've been justified. They're just needing some sanctification, including the preacher. See, that's a powerful thing. So we have access to this thing called grace. Letter C, our faith in Christ's finished work enables God to extend favor, assistance to us, and not wrath. I'm scared to talk to God. He's angry with me. Who told you that? That's not what my Bible says. I can't pray to God because he only hears so-and-so in the church. Who told you that? I'm not mocking the Lord, but do you think that I have to put on a shawl and rip my clothes and put ashes on my face for him to hear me? You know, people do that, and the Lord is angered by that. That doesn't get his attention. You know what gets his attention? Lord, you're my father, but, oh, man, I just blow it so often, and I need you. God hears that all the time. God hears that all the time. So letter D, our standing in grace is one of security or peace and not about self-effort or performance. I've seen so many people come to church and say, your pastor, I just want to let you know I'm doing okay. I'm trying to dress right. I said, who told you that? Well, why would you come to me with that? Can I tell you my number one concern coming to this church was to take the weight off of our ladies. That's the absolute truth, and men, you know it. We're naturally geared to be workaholics, and we're just geared towards those things because we get our glory from that stuff. That's the natural thought first. We get to take the pressure off of there. And then it's to strengthen our men. And then it's to encourage our young people not to be down on the Christian faith because we've got faults and failings. That's the truth of the matter. We've got security in the Lord. It's not about effort or performance. Think about it for a second. So, guys, you come here to church and your hair is perfectly pressed. You've got the most righteous clothing you could ever imagine. You've got the sweetest attitude that you've ever had in your life. And God's going to hear you more? Peter on that boat. Lord, if it be you, bid me to come unto you. I don't even know it's you. Talking to someone doesn't even know it's the Lord. Lord, if it's you, I don't know if you're some kind of spirit or something. If it's you, just, you know, bid me to come unto you. And he goes out there. At least he jumped out of the boat, went in the water. I'll give him credit for that. Let's not downplay Peter here. And he's looking to the Lord, and man, it's all good. Then the waves come, and he begins to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord says, you know what? You really embarrassed me in front of these other disciples. I'm telling you right now. You didn't have it all together. Carl, you're not perfect. I'm telling you, Carl, you like the boat. Oh, Carl, you let me down, bro. I'm your pastor. You let me down. So you go down and do some penance. Wrong religion, okay? Wrong religion, man. Lord, save me. You forgot the thee and the thou. I'm not mocking. I'm just going to get right to the heart of it. You forgot the thee and the thou. You forgot to say gracious, Heavenly Father. Listen, when you're drowning, you don't have time for platitudes, man. You know the most spiritual I am when I'm praying? When you're driving on an icy road and you lose control. Oh, Lord! Oh, man, it's real. Real prayer, man. I've had real prayer. Kids choking. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, that's real heartfelt prayer then and there. Someone calls, oh, preacher, my husband had a heart attack. Oh, God, that's real prayer. I'll tell you what, I notice you don't say thee and thou, and you don't bow on both your knees, because I'm not putting on a show. And we shouldn't put on a show. It's not a performance. I don't get to perform anymore, because I'm not religious. I'm justified. Think about that for a second. You're justified. Just as if you've never sinned. It's not a performance. Instead of actors that ask, actors win Oscars because you don't see the actor, you just see the character they're playing. So let me get it down here. I don't want to see Sheila playing this thing. Because if Sheila's playing this thing, she's freaked out. If I'm preaching, you'll notice it. Oh, God. But you know what? We prayed with the sound before, and I said, Lord, we're faulted individuals here. It's live on Channel 5, and we're just going to jump the Grand Canyon, man. You're going to carry us, Jesus. We got notes here, but the Lord has a message, and he'll stop and phrase and sit here and look at this person and that person and cut it down. That's what he does. You tired of performing? Man, I'm so tired. I got to come to church here and just live up to everyone's expectations. Stop doing that. That's creepy. Folks, I'm really not concerned who likes me right now. I just know the Lord's pleased, and I'm happy. And I'm just glad to be here. I said, Pastor, I hate you. I'm glad to be here. I really am. I'm going to pray. I'm glad to be here, man. I love the Lord. I know he's pleased right now, this moment. I know he's with me, and I'm enjoying this. I'm not doing this. I'm letting him do it. And it's enjoyable. It's just such a joyful thing. You tired of performing? Who are you trying to make happy? I did that once in a church, and everyone in our church started looking at this one couple. And I said, oh, okay. Him. But here's the thing. He's already pleased with us. Is that not what the Bible says? Think about this for a second. Let's continue on here. So letter E, standing in grace means that I don't have to prove that I'm worthy of God's love. Standing in grace means that I now recognize that God desires my fellowship. Standing in grace means that the door of access is permanently open to God continually. This grace that we stand in. Standing in grace means that I am free from the score sheet. The account in Jesus has already been settled. It's settled. So many people want to keep score. Folks, I was sexually abused, tortured, mentally abused as a kid. I forgave people. You know why? Because I was forgiven. What do you expect lost, messed up people to do? They're messed up. They're totally depraved. They're messed up. And I found that forgiveness is a powerful tool. When you exercise forgiveness and give the gospel, it's powerful. Easy? No. Do you forget everything? No, but the hurt's gone. And I thank the Lord for that. Standing in grace means that I spend more time praising God and less time hating myself. Why are you going to hate? Think about how crazy that is, okay? You're hating yourself and God has justified you. Who are you criticizing? Insanity, man. It's total dysfunctional behavior. I just don't want to live anymore. But I've been justified by God and I'm created in the image of God. And I'm, think on that a little while. And I'm not downplaying it. I understand we get there from time to time. But oh, let's help one another. Let's encourage one another. Think about that for a second. Who made you? God did. Who saved you? God did. Who justified you? God did. Who's sanctifying you? God is. Who's with us? God is. Just the benefits of justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. You liking that? Sometimes we need to say that. That's the truth. He's defeated. I read the rest of the story. Man, it's awesome. Read it sometime. Rules and reigns. Troublemaker. 1,000 years. I don't like that. Too bad. Done. The lion lies down with the lamb. The children play with the poisonous snakes. Yeah. God is good, folks. Justified. I'll take God's justification over man's approval any day of the week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I pray you'd help my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. Lord, I know for some it's difficult right now. Please give grace, Lord. We stand in it. But I pray that you give continual grace, Lord. Lord, I pray that folks would stop performing and recognize, Lord, the fact that we're justified and, Lord, that you're going to work in and through us. May we just yield to you. May we grow at the pace that you want us to grow at. Lord, man's burdens are so grievous. They crush people. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I just want to give a moment just with every head bowed, every eye closed, just to talk with the Lord. Thank him for justifying you. And tell him that you don't feel loved, and he'll reassure you that you are loved. Folks, there's so much corruption in this world that we live in, but you know what? We can trust him. He's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I don't know anybody I could trust in the world. You could trust Jesus. And do me a favor, trust him over me too, okay? I trust him over I trust you, folks. That's the truth. Father, I pray that you'd seal the decisions that have been made. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you bless our prayer time. Lord, may we enter into this time, Lord, recognizing we're talking to the one that loves us, the one that died for us. Lord, the one that defends us. Lord, the one that enables us to be what you want us to be. Well, Father, help us to yield to you so less of self is shown and more of you is displayed to a world that's lost and dying. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Men, we're going to meet for prayer in the office. Ladies, if you want to break up into some groups and...